Lord, would help me this afternoon and grant you prayerful attention. I'll direct you to a text you'll find in the psalm that we read together, Psalm 37, and reading again at verse 16. Psalm 37 and reading again at verse 16. A little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked. A little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked. In this psalm, David divides between the godly and the ungodly. And what a difference. Our friends, the grace that is attributed unto the godly, the way that they walk, the wickedness that is seen in every step of the ungodly, evil. God is not in all their thoughts. And our friends, such we are by nature as we come into the world, children of wrath, even as others. There's nothing to pick between the Lord's people and the children of this world. Our friends, you cannot tell when a child is born, when the baby is brought forth from its mother's womb. We come forth, every one of us, from our mother's womb, speaking lies. Born in sin and shaped in iniquity. By nature we do evil. By nature we go astray. And therefore, friends, ultimately this psalm is a psalm about grace. It's a psalm of praise unto the God of grace. For who causeth thee to differ? Friends, can you trace back into your life and see the day when a change was made? Your taste was changed, your desire was changed, your will was changed. A new heart, a new mind. New ways, new thoughts. Friends, it was grace that made the difference. And it's grace that divides down this psalm, sovereign grace. Grace which is despite our sin. Grace which abounds over our sin. Children of wrath, even as others, no difference. As the apostle brings out in the 8th chapter to the Romans, but later on in the epistle to the Romans, the difference between Jacob and Esau. Friends, before they've done evil or good. It's not on the base of our deeds. God loves, because he would love. He has mercy on whom he will have mercy. And he hardens whom he will harden. Friends, it's sovereign grace. If you know something of the change that grace makes, something of the difference that grace has brought into your life, friends, it's not because you are worthy, not because you deserved it. No, it must be praise unto him for his grace, who loved you before you fell, who loved you in eternity past, has bestowed upon you the riches of that everlasting love, grace upon grace. The Lord Jesus Christ came into this world. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And of his grace have each we received, and grace for grace. And it's only as we've received grace, and our friends, only as we daily receive grace, continually receive grace, according to our momently need of grace, there'll be any difference between us and the world, and any difference sustained between us and the world. Have you had to prove that, as the Lord taught you that fact, that except he gives you daily grace, you'll be back in the world? Friends, except he continue his powerful work, except his spirit continue with you, where would you be? Friends, it's not only grace that makes a difference, but it's grace that sustains a difference. And that's what this psalm is all about, the grace of God. Friends, it's not about whether we manage to keep the law and therefore we manage to walk uprightly. There are many in this world that are more upright than others. Not all have gone to prison. Not all are murderers, or not all are necessarily liars. Friends, there are many upright souls in that way outwardly. They may appear to be good people, clean living people, we may call them. But friends, the difference in our psalm this afternoon, it's not a legal difference. Friends, it's a difference that grace makes. It's an inward change that brings that outward fruit. That outward difference in the way we walk, the way we talk, the way we think. It's grace, and grace alone. Friends, in our text this afternoon, we have that contrast between the righteous and the wicked, between those that are recipients of grace and those that are not. A little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked. That brings me in first place this afternoon to ask, what is a righteous man? Now, friends, this is where grace is seen in the text. This dear man that is spoken of in our text, the little that a righteous man hath. He was born a wicked man. He was born unrighteous. But he's now described as a righteous man. A little that a righteous man hath. Friends, what is a righteous man? Well, we must firstly begin at the lowest place. A righteous man. Friends, he's that that does right. He's that that does that which is good. A righteous man lives in conformity to the law. And what law are we talking about here? What is the only measure of righteousness this afternoon? Friends, it's not what you think is right. It's not what I think is right. It's not what your pastor thinks is right. Not what tradition tells us is right. We see differences in nationality. We see differences in locality. But friends, none of those things dictate what is right. There are many things that seem right unto man. Now, there is a way, the word of God tells us, which seems right unto a man, but the end thereof is death. Man is not the measure, and tradition is not the measure. No, it's the word of God. It's the holy law of God. Friends, a righteous man is a man that lives in conformity to the law of God. A man that walks in the way of God, that goes in the way of God, that does what God commands. And in the context of our text, the little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked. Friends, this is a man that has not got his goods by stealing. The commandment says, thou shalt not steal. He has not stolen. Friends, this is a man that has not coveted his neighbour's goods, his neighbour's wife, his neighbour's oxen, ass, land, house, whatever it may be. Friends, no, there is no covetous desire within his heart. That's a righteous man, isn't it? Friends, this is a righteous man who speaks truthfully about what he's got, the little that a righteous man hath. You know, friends, how hard it is to be truthful when we've only got little. You see, the world judges success by how much you've got. And our friends, left to ourselves at times, the Lord's people may judge by how much you've got too. And we try to puff up, we try to push the boundaries a little bit. We describe the little that we've got in glowing language. But our friends, that's not righteous, is it? It's not truthful. The little that a righteous man hath. The righteous man is truthful about what he's got. And our friends, he doesn't go the other way either. He doesn't pretend that he's got nothing when he's got enough. The little that a righteous man hath. Our friends, this man is righteous. And not only is he righteous according to the law of God as considered in the moral law in its narrow sense, but our friends, we find that gospel spirit within this man too. We read the difference in the prophecy of Isaiah concerning those who would make a feast, concerning those who would keep holy days. Our friends, they had a righteousness. They're working out for themselves. But the Lord said, what is a sacrifice? What is the feast that he desired? To draw out your soul to the hungry, to remember the oppressed. Friends, the righteous man gives out of the little that he has. He's so thankful for the little he's got that he gives out of the little that he has to the poor. He remembers the poor. He remembers those. He's known the days of hardship. And he draws out, his soul is drawn out, his heart is drawn out to those who walk in a similar path. Friends, a righteous man, he knows it is not just to give the tithe that the Lord demands, 10% to the Lord. But the righteous man knows, freely you have received, freely give. Friends, if the Lord is a high standard this afternoon, if we have to come, our covetous nature. Friends, how quickly we look, how quickly we would desire. Lust, when it bringeth forth sin. Friends, how quickly covetousness will lead to sin. Somebody said to me recently, do you think there are any thieves in our congregations? Ah, friends, well, I know this. Ah, my old heart would thieve. Ah, friends, if we're kept, it's only the grace of God that keeps us. Oh, righteousness. Ah, friends, what a standard. Holiness. God is holy. His law is holy. This righteousness is utterly holy. Ah, friends, are we righteous this afternoon? Are we holy? The little that a righteous man hath. Ah, friends, these things should concern us. Because it's holiness without which no man can see the Lord. Our God is a consuming fire. He cannot look upon sin with the least degree of lenience. Oh, how do we stand before God this afternoon? A little that a righteous man hath. Ah, friends, have you any righteousness? This man has. Ah, friends, you read through this psalm. This man is a righteous man. There's no doubt about it. You read the psalm at your own leisure. Ah, friends, there's no spot upon this man. Everything that is spoken of him is spoken well, is spoken good, and it's pleasing. This is a godly man. This is a righteous man. Oh, this is one that is holy. The little that a righteous man hath. And that, friends, brings us, secondly, to consider this righteousness. Ah, it goes a little deeper. It's not the works of the flesh, is it? Because there are none righteous, no, not one. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Ah, we've got an old nature that is bent on covetousness. We've got an old nature that is bent on stealing. We've got an old nature that will not give, that thinks that we have a right to everything. Ah, friends, we've got an old nature which is hard towards the cause of the poor, which is hard towards those that suffer. Ah, friends, what is the secret of the righteousness of this man, the little that a righteous man hath? Ah, he's a changed man, isn't he? This is where grace comes in this afternoon. Ah, friends, this man was once among the wicked. He may have had many riches, but he was wicked. There was no righteousness in him. Ah, his very best was dyed with sin. His all was nothing worth. But he's a changed man. Grace has made a difference. And now, friends, what a difference grace makes. Grace doesn't only cause you to turn over a new leaf. Grace doesn't only give you a bit more strength to try a bit harder at the keeping of the law. Ah, friends, grace doesn't make you just a better studier of the Word of God and therefore outwardly better conform to the Word of God. But grace changes the heart. Ah, friends, grace gives us a new nature. A new nature. That's the fruit of grace in the life of the Lord's people, a new nature. A new heart will I give you. Take away that stony heart and give you a new heart. Ah, fleshy heart. A heart that trembles at the approach of sin. Ah, friends, the Word of God describes that change in three ways. It's a new mind. A new mind. Ah, friends, we now understand what is righteous. We now see the perfections of the righteousness of God's law. Ah, friends, it gives us a new heart, a new affections, new desires. Ah, now we desire to do what God would have us to do. Oh, now we see light in his light. And we desire to run in that way. Oh, we desire to glorify him because not just he is a holy God, but he's a God of mercy. The God of grace. Oh, we have nothing that we have not received. Nothing that we're worthy of, but everything that we've received, all of grace. Oh, we long to love him more, to praise him more. Oh, to live more in conformity to his holy image. Oh, to be more Christ-like. Oh, that we might live to his honour and his glory. And he gives us a new will. Oh, friends, he worketh in us to will and to do of his good pleasure. His people are willing people in the day of his power. Ah, friends, you see, now we willingly suffer for his sake. We'd willingly give up all. Ah, to know more of that righteousness. To know more of that grace. Ah, friends, this righteous man is a changed man. It's not as he was born into this world. It's as he's born again. Ah, friends, it's not as he was born dead in trespasses and sins. Brought forth in unrighteousness, a sinner from his mother's womb. But now, our friends, he says he's been changed and given a new heart. That he's found walking in the ways of righteousness for his own namesake. Friends, he's found walking in the ways of God and living to his honour and his glory, a little that a righteous man has. Friends, do you know something of that righteousness? Some of that change? Friends, do you know something of that difference that grace makes? Oh, now you would be holy. Once holiness did not concern you, once conformity to God and to his ways didn't concern you, is your way. But now, grace has made a difference, Lord. What thou me to do? Oh, teach me how to live to thine honour and thy glory. Oh, living and dying to be thine. Friends, and when we are found with unrighteousness, we have to mourn over those spots. Friends, mourn over those things, mourn over our sins, to confess our unrighteousness. Oh, Isaac Watts has that beautiful hymn, doesn't he? Breathing After Holiness. It's written over in Gadsby's 1003. Friends, that's the desire of the heart that's been changed. They breathe after holiness. Friends, they're not satisfied with their righteousness here. Friends, they're not satisfied with their walk here. Oh, they will not be satisfied until they are found like him and see him in the beauty of holiness, made holy as he is holy. A little that a righteous man has. But our friends ultimately want to come to this. Oh, this righteousness. This is righteousness imputed. Our friends, the Lord's people, those that have known that change by grace, they don't only know a change within them, but there's a change in their standing with God. Our friends, once they were afar off, they had no right to approach. God is a consuming fire. There was no way near. Oh, but a way has now been made through the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is our propitiation. He's taken away our sins, our unrighteousness. Oh, Joshua, the son of Jozadak, the high priest, as Zechariah saw him in his filthy garments, but the command came forth, oh, take off those filthy garments. Oh, a robe of righteousness had been provided, that robe of white linen, and a fair mitre to be put upon his head. Holiness unto the Lord. Ah, friends, this is how the Lord's people are righteous. Oh, all our falls, all our unrighteousnesses. Ah, but friends, you've got a righteousness this afternoon that's not your own. Oh, can you come in with the hymn writer, Jesus, thy blood and righteousness. My beauty are my glorious dress. Amidst flaming worlds with these arrayed, with joy shall I lift up my head. Ah, friends, is that your only hope of righteousness? Oh, as we read through this psalm, did you feel, oh, this language is so high. It's beyond me. Sold under sin was Paul's complaint. He sorely felt the fall. Ah, friends, he was a sinner, but he found room, didn't he? The righteousness of Jesus Christ. Ah, wretched man that I am. The good that I would, I do not. The evil that I would not, that I do. Everything's unrighteousness. Oh, but come to Romans 8, and what a change there is now. Therefore, no condemnation. No condemnation. Why? Because of righteousness. Utter righteousness. Ah, perfect righteousness. Where is it to be found? Ah, in Jesus Christ. His righteousness, which God imputes and faith puts on. Oh, who is he that condemneth? Who can lay anything to the charge of God's elect? God that justifies. Who is it that condemneth? Christ that died. Is that your only hope this afternoon? Is that your plea? And as you are found in Christ, as Jesus' blood is your only plea, do you have some hope that though a sinner, you're found on the right side of this psalm? Not because of anything you can do, anything you have done, because of grace, the free unmerited favour of God. Friends, I said what made the difference in this psalm this afternoon is grace. Not on the ground of merit, the free unmerited favour of God, and therefore the vilest sinner, the most helpless, the one that feels most unrighteous. Friends, the door of hope set open. If free grace, why not for thee? And if free grace, why not for thee? Friends, it's free and it's grace. Unmerited. Oh, that's a gospel, isn't it? How everyone that thirsteth, oh, come by, come, without money and without price. Our friends, freely given, freely given. This righteousness is freely given. Our friends, it's costly. Oh, those things that they may give away free in the street, they're often cheap. They're often broken, they're often surplus. But our friends, this is the most costly thing that can ever be given. Oh, what it cost. He was rich, yet for our sakes he became poor. Our friends, there's the cost. Oh, the eternal Son of God, found in our nature, made of a woman, made under the law, to work out this righteousness. And the end of that righteousness, obedience unto death. Oh, the cursed death of the cross. Ah, friends, this is the most costly gift the soul can ever receive. And it's freely given. Freely given. Oh, this is how a man may be just with God. This is how a poor sinner might be found righteous and found within our text. Ah, friends, that precious righteousness is given. The precious blood of Jesus to cleanse from all sin. His precious righteousness imputed unto us. And ah, the benefits that flow from his death, that new life. Ah, not me that liveth, says the apostle, but Christ that liveth in me. Ah, the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Ah, friends, that's a life. Oh, do you know something of that life this afternoon? Yes, it loves the paths of righteousness. Oh, it loves his law. It meditates on it day and night. Oh, I know something of that peace of which the psalmist speaks. Great peace have they, which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Oh, friends, now there's a desire after righteousness. Now there's a walking in the ways of righteousness. Oh, the unrighteous behaviour. Oh, friends, they're turning aside from it. Yes, we still fall. Yes, we still go backwards, but grace has made a real change. It's made a real change. Oh, the little that a righteous man has is better than the riches of many wicked. Oh, friends, are there any righteous souls in Cranbrook Chapel this afternoon? Yes, by nature, you have to own. Child of wrath, even as others, a sinner, born a sinner, but oh, through Jesus' blood, through his righteousness, you have a hope this afternoon that you are righteous. A standing place before God. And the evidence of it is seen in your life. By their fruits ye shall know them. Now, our friends, there has been a change. And even when life may seem very low, our friends, has that grown within you? You would be. Oh, you would be more righteous. You would live better. Our friends, the difference of grace is made. The little that a righteous man hath. This is a righteous man. Ah, one that does righteousness. One that walks in God's ways. One that has a heart that's been changed to walk in those ways. Able to walk in those ways. Desiring to walk in those ways. And one whose plea ultimately is not their own righteousness. Not the labour of their hands. Oh, but the precious blood and righteousness of the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ alone. And in him we stand complete. The little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked. But then, friends, secondly, we notice in our text this afternoon that we're told that a righteous man may have a little that a righteous man hath. A little that a righteous man hath. Now, friends, our text this afternoon doesn't say that a righteous man may only have a little. Oh, the word of God is very clear. Yes, not many wealthy, not many rich inherit the kingdom of God. How hard it is, the Lord said, for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven. Easier for a camel to go through the needle's eye. But he said, with men things are impossible. But with God, nothing is impossible. Now, friends, there have been those righteous souls who the Lord has abundantly blessed. They've had much wealth. Ah, little that a righteous man hath. Ah, friends, our text should not be read this afternoon as saying that if we're righteous, we'll only have a little. There is a school of thought that some seem to slip into, even if they do not really mean what they say at times, as though poverty is a sign of grace. If you're really one of the Lord's people, you'll be poor. But our text doesn't say that. And I would not have you misunderstand it this afternoon. Ah, friends, this is not proof that if you're righteous, you'll only have a little. That if you're righteous, the Lord will take away all your riches. Ah, friends, Job had much, but he was a righteous man. Oh, was any more righteous than his servant Job? He lost all. Ah, friends, his righteousness at the end shone as a noonday, didn't it? And the Lord blessed him and gave him more than he had at the beginning. Ah, friends, Job is testament to the fact that you cannot measure righteousness by how much you've got or how little you've got. Ah, little that a righteous man hath. And secondly, very closely allied to that, we wanted to just say this. Our friends, it doesn't say that a righteous man will be left with nothing. No, this psalm is quite clear, isn't it? I'd seen, he was had been young, but now he's old. But he had not seen the righteous begging bread. No, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Our friends, that is the testimony of the righteous. Oh, they live to prove it. The Lord may test it at times. He may bring them into very low places where they may feel that the promise is going to give up, give out. The cruse of oil, the barrel of meal is finally going to waste away, but no. Our friends, the psalmist has never seen the righteous begging bread. No. Oh, the little that a righteous man hath. The Lord, he may keep his righteous people with little. But our friends, he never takes away their all, does he? The hymn writer puts it like that. He never takes away our all. Himself he gives us still. The little that a righteous man hath. Our friends, don't despise the little that a righteous man hath. Oh, Elijah had a constant supply, didn't he, all through those years of famine. The ravens and brook cherries. But our friends, meat provided by the ravens and water from the brook, what more did Elijah need? My God shall supply all your needs. All your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And our friends, when the brook dried up, God's promise hadn't failed. He was still a faithful God. Our friends, he'd still prove faithful to Elijah. He shows him that widow woman gathering sticks, a barrel of meal and a cruse of oil. Our friends, every morning when they went to look in that barrel, every morning when they poured out the oil, there was still the same amount as yesterday. The Lord provided. Our friends, we may have little, but the hand that gives to the righteous maintains their supply. Our friends, he's a faithful and he's unchanging God. Our friends, he will never give out. He will never give up. And therefore his people may be assured of this, though they have little. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. We will not be left to beg bread. We will not be left with nothing. The little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked. And then, friends, finally on this point a little, we find there is that other solemn error which goes out into the world today, and so many are conned by it, though it be preached by professed ministers of the gospel. Friends, that if you're righteous, the Lord will bless you, you'll have much. Some may go as far as calling it the prosperity gospel, and many souls are sucked in by it. If only you will become a Christian, then you'll have everything. Friends, it's a twisting of what the Word of God tells us. The Word of God does say, for all things are yours, and ye are Christ's, and Christ is God's. Friends, the cattle upon a thousand hills are God's. And as we are brought into relationship, we are inheritors. As we are sons, we are inheritors of all things. But the Word of God nowhere promises us that if we're righteous, we will have much. Friends, faithful souls. Faithful souls. Friends, their faithfulness at times have improved when the Lord has taken away all their props. Brought them down to little, but their faithfulness has persisted. Then their righteousness has shone as the noonday. Friends, nowhere in the Word of God does it promise you that if you walk in the paths of righteousness, you'll have much. Yes, God does say, I will honour them that honour me. They that honour me, I will honour. Those that despise me, I will lightly esteem. Friends, the smiles of his face are to be coveted. And he smiles upon the righteous. Don't ever expect him to smile upon your sins and your unrighteousness. It's the little that a righteous man hath. Friends, to ever seek to be found walking in the paths of righteousness, but friends, if you're walking in the paths of righteousness this afternoon and the Lord seems to be emptying your vessel, if you're walking in the paths of righteousness this afternoon and the Lord seems to be bringing you down, friends, don't let the devil cut you off. Don't let your old unbelief cut you off. A little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked. Friends, the blessing of the righteous man is not in the little. It's not in how much he's got. It's in the comparison. And that's where we want to come to thirdly. Friends, to notice this blessed comparison This is where the consolation is. The little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked. Our friends, our text this afternoon, the emphasis is not on little or much. It's on the comparison. It's better than the riches of many wicked. And why is the little that a righteous man hath better than the riches of many wicked? Our friends, it's better in the first place because the righteous man knows the origin of what he has. Our friends, he knows where it comes from. He knows its source. Our friends, that's a good reason, isn't it? The little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked. He knows where it's come from. Our friends, do you know this afternoon where your little has come from? Oh, can you say with the hymn writer, every grace and every favour comes to us through Jesus' blood. Oh, do you have to trace everything that you have up to the hand of God? Do you have to give thanks in all things? It's come from him. You came into this world naked. You'll go out of this world naked. You don't deserve anything, but he's bestowed upon you freely. And you have to trace all those blessings up to his hand. And our friends, he's good. And can he give anything but that which is good? Oh, a child asks of his father, stone, does he give him an egg? An egg, and does he give him a stone? Our friends, the illustrations that the Lord brings out. Ask for a fish, does he give him a serpent? No. Our friends, he knows how to give good gifts to his children. That's where your little has come from this afternoon. Our friends, therefore, you know it's the best. It's the best. It's the best that heaven can afford. Our friends, it's best suited to your case. You know the origin. Ah, you see, friends, if you buy things on the black market, the wicked man, how does he have so much? Because he gets his things from unknown sources. Ah, friends, he buys things on the black market, and what do you find? Things are watered down. Things are mixed. They're not exactly what they say they are on the packet. Other things have been added in to make up the weight. Friends, unjust measures, unjust weights. When you buy things from wrong sources. Friends, things that do not appear to be what they really are. Things that may appear to be all very good on the outside, but they're broken. The wicked. Friends, you have to see it in the way the Lord has led you. Perhaps in providence. Friends, more so in grace, but just for a moment in providence. You see the things of the wicked. They acquire things. But they acquire them through their wickedness. Friends, they do not pray about those things. They do not look for them from the best sources. And consequently, they prove to be not what they thought they were. They fail. They lead them astray. They're poison. In grace. Friends, if you've got a little grace this afternoon, a little hand of faith can take hold on Jesus Christ, you've got something that will not fail. The world, what do they put their hope in? Concerning tomorrow, in their strength. In their health, in the good work of their hands. But our friends, how much they've got, it'll all be burnt up. It stands as nothing before God. Do you know the origin of what you've got this afternoon? It's come from God. Friends, do you have to seek your little from the Lord's hand? Do you have to seek at the throne of grace that the Lord would give, the Lord would provide, that the Lord would direct you in your getting? You know where it's come from. You know its origin. The wicked. Our friends, they've got no idea where their much comes from. They get it from all kinds of places. They scratch it up here and they scratch it up there. Our friends, it's of unknown provenance. And it's proved to be at the end bad. It's proved to be at the end that which is cursed, that which is mixed. That which only brings forth death. The little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked. Friends, secondly, the righteous man knows where he's got his things from, how he's got them. Not just our friends, a source, but he knows how he's got them. You see, the righteous man, he works for his bread. The righteous man, he deals plainly with people. He deals with just measures. Friends, he knows where every pound in his pocket has come from. It's come from this righteous source. It's come from that righteous source. Friends, a righteous man, you see, hasn't got his means by stealing. He hasn't got his means by dodgy dealing. And you know, friends, that means that the righteous man can sleep in his bed at night. The righteous man can see the policeman walk down the road on the other side. And he's not afraid that the policeman is going to come across the road and tap him on the shoulder and say, "Where did you get that from?" That he's not going to pull you over on the hard shoulder of the motorway and say, "Where did your car come from?" Oh, because he knows where it comes from. He's obtained it by right means. He's righteous. Ah, but you see, friends, the wicked may have much, but where have they got it from? Where have they got it from? Ah, feelings. Unrighteous ways. Ah, friends, they cannot rest. There's continually that ill conscience with them. Oh, the little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked. Ah, friends, it's better because you know that you've obtained that littleness in a righteous way. You've obtained it in dependence upon the Lord. Ah, friends, you've obtained it from the Lord, not from anywhere else. And consequently, it will stand. It will stand. Ah, you can rest upon that hallmark. Ah, friends, has everything got that right hallmark? The work of grace in your soul. The answers to prayer, it is the Lord. It is the Lord. Ah, friends, Eli could sleep, couldn't he? Even though, oh, the saddest of news was brought to him. Why? Because it is the Lord. That's the hallmark that the righteous man looks for. It is the Lord. And he can rest upon that. It's enough. It's enough. A little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked. Ah, friends, why is a little that a righteous man hath better than the riches of many wicked? It's because the Lord has proportioned it. Oh, can you rest upon that fact this afternoon? The Lord has proportioned it so. Oh, you may wonder why. One has been mightily prospered and yet the Lord's kept you on short measures. Ah, friends, you may wonder why the Lord hasn't given you the wisdom that he's given to somebody else. Why he hasn't blessed you in providential things like he's blessed other people. Ah, friends, you may wonder why he's leading you in the path that he's leading you in compared to others. Some seem to have it so easy, you've got it so hard. Ah, friends, is the little that you got this afternoon better than the riches of many wicked? Because you believe the Lord has proportioned it. He makes no mistakes. Ah, friends, he knows just what's right for you. Ah, friends, he knows what you need. And he's proportioned it. Ah, friends, he's measured out your lot. He's designed your pathway. He's appointed it. He performeth the thing that is appointed for me. For me, personally. And many such things are with him. Ah, friends, he's too wise to err and too good to be unkind. Ah, you see, the little that a righteous man hath, the righteous man can look upon his little at times when the little may seem to be insufficient, but he believes all things. Ah, that little is among the all things that are working together for good. To them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Ah, friends, he's quite content with his little. Because it's God's will for him. And God's will is best. It's God's design for him. And that design is perfect. Ah, little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked. Ah, friends, a righteous man, he understands the responsibility that comes with much. Oh, the word of God solemnly says, to whom much is given, much will be required. Oh, does that word hang heavy in your heart this afternoon? To whom much is given, much will also be required. Oh, is there one here this afternoon the Lord has given much to? Oh, much will be required. Oh, he says, occupy till I come. Ah, friends, he gave out different talents, didn't he? Ah, 10 to 1 and 5 to another and 1 to another. And he said, occupy till I come. Ah, friends, to whom much is given, much will also be required. Oh, do you have to be thankful this afternoon the Lord has given you little? Because it's hard enough to be faithful in little things. Ah, friends, it's hard enough to manage little things, isn't it? Oh, how would we cope with great things? Ah, you see, friends, a righteous man has a right understanding of these things. And he has to be thankful at times that the Lord hasn't given him more. Because he makes such a mess left to himself of even the little the Lord's given him. Ah, God's perfect way again. God's measured the lot. He knows. Ah, friends, he knows what we are able to cope with. He knows what's best for us. And he's proportioned it so, he's designed it so. Ah, little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked. Oh, it took me to dear Bunyan's lines, he that is down need fear no fall. He that is low, no pride. He that is humble ever shall have God to be his guide. Ah, friends, you know, if we've got little, we haven't got much to lose, have we? We haven't got much to lose. Ah, friends, how much easier it is to keep a few sheep in control compared to a whole flock of sheep. Ah, little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked. Ah, friends, the Lord's people are taught to be thankful for those low places. And taught to be thankful for the place the Lord brings them into. You know, I've sometimes seen those who seem to be greatly prospered, perhaps in the way of church or the way of family. You think, perhaps envious. Oh, Asaph, so foolish was I and envious. But friends, we have to be thankful the little we've got. The Lord's presence with us. The Lord's help and blessing. The Lord's provision. Friends, unity, the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace, the little that a righteous man hath. Friends, to be made thankful for that little, the little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked. Then, friends, a righteous man with little has a promise, doesn't he? Oh, thou hast been faithful in these little things. Oh, to us is promised a kingdom, as Jesus speaks in the Gospel of Luke. Well done, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in a very little. Have thou authority over 10 cities? And the second came, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 5 pounds. And he said, likewise unto him, be thou also over 5 cities. Friends, very little. Very little. Oh, the very little that a righteous man hath. But he has a promise. He has a promise. Oh, as thou hast been faithful over that very little. Ah, you see, friends, we'll have to give an account. Whether much or little is given, to whom much is given, much will be required. To be faithful. And to those that are faithful in very little. Those that are faithful over the little that the Lord has given them. Friends, they have a glorious promise. A little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked. There's no promise to the wicked, is there? Friends, there's no promise that's attended to great riches. We don't enter into the kingdom of heaven because we've got much. Friends, what is the blessed sentence of the gates of the kingdom of heaven? Oh, inasmuch as ye have done it to one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. That's faithfulness. That's faithfulness. And as thou hast been faithful in very little. Oh, friends, we are given that kingdom, that crown. That place him on his throne. That good part which cannot be taken away from us. Oh, an internal inheritance in the heaven, a little that a righteous man hath, is better than the riches of many wicked. And then, friends, finally, because a little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked. It's better because, friends, we may not have much in providence. But however little a righteous man may have in the things of providence, friends, he's got much in the things of grace. Because you can't have a little of Christ. Friends, you cannot have a little grace. Friends, grace is always sufficient. Grace is always enough. There's never any shortfall in grace. Friends, of the completeness, you see. Ye are complete in him, everything. Everything that a soul requires in grace, given in Jesus Christ, here. In this life. Friends, a precious righteousness that you can stand before God in. Precious blood to plead at the throne of grace. A high priest who ever liveth to make intercession for you. Touched with the feeling of your infirmities, tempted in all points like as you are. Friends, that precious invitation. Oh, come boldly to the throne of grace. That you may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Friends, ever low. Your little may come. You have that. Which is a fullness. That measure of which the word of God speaks, pressed down and flowing over. Oh, the psalmist speaks of it, doesn't he? He said, my cup runneth over. Friends, what does that mean? It means the cup's full. And it means the source is still full. And it's still giving. And it's still pouring. And consequently, it pours over the side of the cup. And I think as Mr. Pollington at Samuel Pollington at Rotherfield used to say, it runs over into the saucer. My cup runneth over. Friends, that's the fullness that the righteous man hath, a supply which will never run out. Friends, an exhaustless supply of grace, an exhaustless store of righteousness in Jesus Christ. And however low your barrel of oil and your cruse of oil and your barrel of meal may come, however straitened the Lord may bring you into in things in this life, friends, that fullness of grace that is with the righteous man is always full and it cannot be taken away. We may have much this afternoon, but if we're a wicked person and we've got nothing of grace, nothing of Christ, we stand naked before God. The blackness of darkness forever. Everything that we have shall be taken away from us. And that solemn sentence, depart from me, I never knew you. The blackness of darkness forever. The place where the worm dieth not. The little that a righteous man hath is better. Friends, it's not just the contrast. The better contrast is not just on the little and the much. It's on the righteousness and the wicked. Friends, it's on the gift of God. The better is grace. Oh, come back to where we began. This psalm is about the difference grace makes. And this better, this contrast in our text. Friends, it's a contrast between having grace and not having grace. And if you've got the grace of God this afternoon in Jesus Christ, you've got everything. And you've got that which cannot be taken away. And that which should enter into the fullness of in glory to come. A little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked. Friends, where does that bring us? In closing this afternoon, briefly in application to each one of us personally. Oh, that important question. Are we righteous? Friends, are we made righteous? Have we got a righteousness this afternoon to plead before God? Now, it doesn't matter whether we've got little or much this afternoon. It doesn't matter whether we've got many riches or little. The one thing needful, the important question, we've got to stand in place for a holy God. We've got a shelter in place beneath that precious blood. Is Jesus' blood our only plea? Is it his righteousness we have to look to this afternoon? Friends, if we're righteous, there'll have been a change made. There will be the walking in the ways of righteousness. And at very least, there'll be a desire after righteousness. Oh, do you know something of that desire this afternoon after righteousness? The hating of the ways of wickedness. The turning from them, the fighting against them, the striving against them. Oh, the breathing after holiness. Friends, do you know anything of this afternoon? Because if we're not righteous this afternoon in the righteousness of Jesus Christ, if we don't know anything of that change which grace makes, it doesn't matter whether you've got all the riches of this world. What should it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and lose his soul? Oh, there is but one thing needful. Men measure many things as being needful. The things of this life, health, strength, riches, job, family, whatever it may be. But our friends, the word of God declares there is only one thing needful. You can have all of those things. But if you're not made righteous this afternoon in the righteousness of Jesus Christ, if grace has made no difference in your soul, our friends, you may as well have nothing. You're lost. You're lost. Oh, that you might be brought to seek after righteousness, to call upon him. Seek the Lord while he may be found and call upon him while he is near, to be found pursuing righteousness. Oh, it's found in Jesus and in Jesus alone. But then, friends, just a few words to the church here. Oh, my mind this morning, not knowing what to preach from, but my mind went back as I was getting breakfast to the words your dear pastor spoke of at the Gospel Standard Trust meeting a few years ago. The church had a little strength. And it brought me immediately to this text. The little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked. Oh, you may feel there's much you have to say about the Lord's house here and his work here that's described by little. The word little. Few. A little house of prayer. Few. That may gather week by week. A little church. But the little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked. Friends, the religious world today, they measure things by the wrong yardstick, the wrong measure. Ah, oh, friends, I'm not speaking down now fruitfulness. Oh, we long for fruitfulness. You long to see this place full, and I long on your behalf to see this place full, and to see additions to the church, and to see a revival in this town. Ah, oh, friends, we should be longing for it. We should be looking for it. We should be praying for it. He is able. Ah, oh, the Lord is able. His arm is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is his ear weary that it cannot hear. But ah, friends, so many put the emphasis simply on the little or much. Ah, friends, they measure it by size, by numbers, by how many are on the church roll. But ah, friends, you come to Revelation, to the letters to the seven churches. How does God measure it? Oh, you know, we're not told with those churches how many were on the church roll. We're not told whether they were great or small. Those verses speak of one thing. Faithfulness, of righteousness. He knows your works. Ah, to be a righteous church, to be a faithful church. Ah, he says, be thou faithful unto death, and I'll give thee a crown of life. Ah, occupy till I come. Be faithful in very little, the little strength that the Lord has given you. Ah, and he will give his crown. That's the promise that the righteous man with little has to look forward to. Ah, as thou hast been faithful in very little, the Lord will appoint you a kingdom. A little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked. Ah, again, to be found a true church of Christ. Ah, friends, to be found cleaving to that righteousness. The pillar, the ground of the truth, to be found cleaving to the word of God. Preaching the word of God. Continuing our lot to the end of days. Remaining faithful. Ah, friends, it's his grace alone that will do it. Ah, but to them that occupy till he comes, to those that are faithful unto the end, ah, they will receive the fullness of the reward that cannot be taken from them. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, and not for me only, but for all them that love thy appearing, ah, which he will give me in that day. Ah, that is what the righteous man looks for. And then, whether we have little or much, falls into his right place. The little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked. Amen.